हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ओम् नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने ओम् सर्वमङ्गलमाङ्गल्ये शिवे सर्वार्थसाधिके शरण्ये त्र्यम्बके गौरी नारायणी नमोऽस्तु ते सर्वरूपमयी देवी सर्वं देवीमयं जगत् अतोऽहं विश्वरूपां ताम् नमामि परमेश्वरी भगवती महापराशक्ति सरस्वती रूपिणी. So now we have completed the Sambandha Bhashyam, we have completed meaning of the Upanishad, and now we are moving on to we also will Shanti Pataha. We now moved on to second section called second section. And before going there, I wanted to remind you, this Taittiriya Upanishad consists of three chapters, and the first chapter, which is actually the seventh chapter of the Taittiriya Aranyakam, is entitled Sikshadhyayaha, because the first word of the Upanishad begins with the word Siksha. And the Siksha is a Chandasa Prayogaha. Chandasa Prayogaha means Vedic usage. What does it mean? In conventional language, it should not be taken long, it should be taken short. Siksha. Siksha is one of the six auxiliary sciences, Vedangas. And the Siksha is specifically a science of phonetics. And Shankaracharya will make it very clear why Siksha is discussed in this chapter, in this Upanishad, which is supposed to be discussing only Brahma Vidya. Okay, let us see the first meaning of these words. I assume that you can listen to my recording and learn the chanting. Om. You're supposed to do the chanting of Shanti Pataha. Om. Shanno Mitra is specifically for the Taittiriya Upanishad Shanti Pataha. Sahana Otu is a Shanti Pata for any of the Yajurveda Shanti Pata. Om Shanno Mitra Shambarunaha Shanno Bhavatvaryama Shanna Indro Brihaspatihi Shanno Vishnururukramaha Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayo Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadishyami Ritam Vadishyami Satyam Vadishyami Tanma Mavato Tadvaktaram Avato Avato Mam Avato Vaktaram Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Sikshaam vyakhyasyamaha Varnaswaraha Matrabalam Samasantanaha Ityukta Sikshadhyayaha. Sikshaam vyakhyasyamaha Varnaswaraha Matrabalam Samasantanah Ityuktasi Ikshadhyayah. So here, this Anuvakaha, just briefly, very briefly, but thoroughly presents the science of phonetics. Uh, And the Upanishad presents the science of phonetics along with other aspects associated with the science of phonetics. And Shankara Bhagavatpada will explain later on why this is specifically taught here. In Vedic period, during the Vedic times, Veda was not written, not even manuscripts were available. So, no textbook, no printing press, nothing was there. The entire Veda Shastram, the treasure house of knowledge, was only contained in the form of words. All the words, even the statements of Veda consisting of words, all of them were only retained only in the form of a sound. So if knowledge was only in a sound means, words means, and the words have to be communicated, unless the words are expressed, knowledge will remain unmanifest form. So the knowledge was always in the form of thoughts. So the teacher will have all the knowledge, the entire jnanam in his mind in the form of thoughts. And he has, first is Veda Adhyayanam, which means thorough study of the text in the form of chanting. Thoroughly learning to chant all the mantras and having the textbook itself in the mind is called Veda Adhyayanam. And after Veda Adhyayanam, when the person starts understanding the meaning of the words through analysis, it is called Veda Mimamsa. So study involved two steps, Veda Adhyayanam, Veda Mimamsa. So, if a person has to first, in order to begin the Mimamsa, analytical study of the mantras, the first thing he must do is he must have the text in himself in the form of a thoughts in the mind. As the teacher unfolds, the student is supposed to be turning the pages of the Veda in the mind itself. What means he must have thorough study. He must memorize the whole Veda. So to easily memorize the Vedas, they also had this Swaras. And we have to, suppose if the pronunciation is not very, everything has to be heard and understood. Therefore, the pronunciation must be very clear so that the words can be understood. The sounds must be heard properly. Words must be heard properly. So that the meaning will be, meaning can be learnt correctly, so that the actual message of the Shastram which is conveyed can be grasped. Ultimately, to understand the actual subject matter of the teaching, the message conveyed by the teaching, one must have the clear understanding of the words. So clear understanding of the words and the clear meaning of the words, say sentences, is dependent on the proper pronunciation of the sounds also. Therefore, here pronunciation is given importance. Ultimately, our moksha, the ultimate goal itself, is dependent on the reception of clear message of the teaching, the whole text. Therefore, if I should not miss my end, I must receive the right message, and for which I must have right understanding, for which I must be exposed to the right knowledge of the words, for that I must have the right way of pronouncing the words also. Therefore, keeping it in mind, here Upanishad in the very beginning itself introduces this science of phonetics very briefly, but still presents a thorough presentation of the text. And second thing, the first chapter discusses only the many disciplines, values, meditations, and also proper attitudes we should have towards everything. Four important factors. I'll repeat. the first chapter consists of, the entire first chapter consists of 12 anuvakas, 12 sections. The first section we have completed, which had the Shantipata. So in this, again, 12th anuvaka also is going to be a Shantipataha. Same Shantipataha will be discussed with the slight changes. In between, we have 10 anuvakas. Of them, the first anuvaka is Siksha, the Siksha. The subject matter of the first anuvaka is Siksha. In these 10 anuvakas, Upanishad discusses mainly karma. Karma means the ritual, prayer for wisdom, prayer for Medha Shakti, prayer for wealth in the form of Japa Mantra and Homa Mantra, the discipline of Japa, discipline of even Parayana, chanting, meditations, values and proper attitudes that we should have towards everything. I can see the 6 aspects mainly discussed in the first chapter. Okay. But Upanishad, the main subject matter being Brahma Vidya, there's no elaborate discussion on this phonetics. Just mentions so that we will know the importance of chanting and all the rules that we have to follow in chanting also. Okay. First, the word Siksham Vyakhyasyamaha. So, the subject is not mentioned, but subject is implied. Subject is first person, plural, vayam, we. Because the verb is a first person plural verb. It's a future tense verb. Vyakhyasyamaha. So there, the prefix is vi and a. The root is kya. Kya is the root. Kya is the root. And kya is the root. A, V, A are 2 prefixes. Vyakhyate. Vyakhyate. Na vyakhyanam karoti. Means the present tense verb. In future tense, vyakhyasyamaha. Vyakhyasyamaha, so Vyakhyasyamaha, we shall explain, we shall expound. In fact, Shankaracharya does a very big bhasham on this V and A. I will do it later on, but now we'll see. So, Siksha should be taken as Siksha, as I already mentioned. So, we shall explain the science of phonetics, pronunciation of sounds. There are 6 aspects have to be noticed there. First is Varnaha. Second is Swaraha. Third is Matra. Fourth is Balam. Fifth is Sama. Sixth is Santanaha. What are they? The 6 aspects constitute the topic of Siksha. The 6 factors constitute the topic of the science of phonetics or pronunciation of sounds. First, Varnaha. Second, Swaraha. Third, Matra. Fourth, Balam. Fifth, Sama. Sixth, Santanaha. 6 aspects. Okay, now we'll see. So what is the word Varnaha mean, you all must be having the meaning. Varnaha, in Sanskrit language, the word Varnaha means color also. Varnaha means color, but here Varnaha should be understood as alphabet. Ayut Oli. Varnaha. Then the word Swaraha means accent. Matra. See, Varnaha, masculine noun. Swaraha, masculine noun, like Balaha. Then Matra. Matra is a feminine gender word. So Matra is actually time, unit of time taken for pronouncing a sound. Unit of time taken for pronouncing a sound is called matra. So literally it means a measure. It is derived from the root ma. Ma means to measure. The verb is mati. Mati means measures. It is not Tamil matra. Okay. Then fourth is balam. So the word balam means strength. But here the word balam strength means what? The emphasis used in pronouncing the sounds. How much emphasis we should give in pronouncing a soft consonant and a hard consonant. Like that, this emphasis, stress used in pronouncing a sound is called balam, strength. And the word next is sama. The word sama actually means sama, samam. Sama actually means uniformity of pace. In a word, how much pace must be there between sounds, each sound, and what should be the pace between a one word and another word, and what should be the pace in which a mantra should be chanted. You know, that's called sama. So we should not be too fast in chanting. We should be too slow in chanting. We should maintain the medium pace. It's called a sama. Uniformity of pace. Then, santanaha. Santanaha means actually proximity of letters. Close proximity of letters. You can say sandhihi. Santanaha is a masculine gender word. Another word for santanaha is sandhihi. Conjunction. Conjunction. Or combination of letters. Santanaha. Okay. Now you've got all six words. We'll be seeing every word elaborately as unfolded by Shankara. Now you've got literal meaning afterwards. Varnaha. Swaraha, Matra, Balam, Sama, Santanaha, Iti. Iti means what? Engindra. Iti, thus. See, in Tamil we say Endru, Engira, Enbadu. For all this we use the word Iti in Sanskrit. Thus. Then, Iti, Uktaha. Iti, Uktaha. Ityuktasi ikshadhyayaha. You break the sentence iti plus uktaha plus sikshadhyayaha. Iti uktaha. Uktaha is what? Ukta is a past to passive participle of the verb vadati. Ukta means said. Literally it means said. Here you can take it as taught. Thus has been said thus has been said என்று சொல்லப்பட்டுள்ளது. Thus has been said, thus has been taught, what Sikshadhyayaha. The section, a chapter on the science of pronunciation. Sikshadhyayaha means the chapter in which the science of pronunciation is discussed. Therefore, these are the six aspects which discussed under the topic of Siksha. Okay. Now, Bhashyam. What's the page number? Shankaracharya begins his commentary by introducing the mantra in the following way. அர்த்தஜானப்பிரதானத்வாத் உபநிஷதோ அர்த்தஜானப்பிரதானத்வாத் உபநிஷதோ க்ரந்தபாடே யத்னோ பரமோ மா போதிதி சிக்ஷாத்யாய ஆரப்யதே. I'm going to break it now. அர்த்தஜானப்பிரதானத்வாத் உபநிஷதஹ கிரந்தபாடே யத்ன உபரமஹ மாபூத் இதி சிக்ஷாத்யாயஹ ஆரப்யதே. ஓகே, வாட் இஸ் த வேர்ட் ஆரப்யதே? மீன் ஆரப்யதே இஸ் பிகன். த வேர்ப் இஸ் ஆரபதே. ஆரபதே பிகின்ஸ். ஆரப்யதே இஸ் பிகன். ஆத்மனே பதம், ஆத்மனே பதி தாத்து. ஆரபதே, ஓகே, ஆரபதே துவங்குகிறது. ஆரப்யதே துவக்கப்படுகிறது. ஆரப்யதே இஸ் பிகன். வாட் இஸ் பிகன்? சிக்ஷாத்யாயஹ ஆரப்யதே. யூ கேன் மேக் அ நோட், த விசர்கஹ ப்ரிசீடிங் அ லாங் ஆகாரஹ இஸ் டிராப்ட். Therefore, when you're reading for the meaning, you have to see Sikshadhyayaha Arabhyate. The section, this chapter discussing the science of pronunciation is begun. Why is it begun? In the very opening sentence, Shankaracharya gives the reason for discussing the topic of Siksha in this first chapter. What is the purpose? Purpose of discussing the topic of Siksha in the Upanishad. What is the purpose? Upanishad, the Siksha need not be discussed at all here. We are interested in Brahma Vidya and Jnanam and Moksha. We are not interested in learning the phonetics. Shankaracharya first writes the opening sentence itself, the purpose of discussing Siksha here. He says, சிக்ஷாத்யாயஹ ஆரப்யதே கிமர்த்தம் இதி சேத், வை, பிகாஸ் கிரந்த பாட்டே. கிரந்த பாட்டஹ மீன்ஸ் சாண்டிங் ஆஃப் த டெக்ஸ்ட். கிரந்தஹ மீன்ஸ் டெக்ஸ்ட். பாட்டஹ மீன்ஸ் சாண்டிங். பாட்டஹ லிட்ரலி மீன்ஸ் லெசன், பட் ஹியர் த வேர்ட் பாட்டஹ means recitation. So granthasya pataha, grantha pataha, recitation of the text, recitation of the mantras which form the text is called what? Grantha pataha. Grantha pate is a locative case. Grantha pate means in reciting the original mantras which form the text. In reciting the original text, original mantras which form the text, yatna uparamaha. Yatnaha means effort. Yatnaha means effort. Uparamaha means indifference, disinterest. Yatna uparamaha. So yatne uparamaha, yatna uparamaha, compound word. So indifference in one's effort. So indifference in the effort one has to put in reciting the text. Indifference in the effort one has to make in reciting the text or to recite the text. Grantha pate yatna uparamaha mabhut may it not be mabhutna irukkavendam endru. So thinking, considering that there should not be indifference on the part of a student in making effort to recite the original text. There should not be any indifference on the part of the student in making his effort to recite the text. Why there should not be indifference? He must have Shraddha in reciting the text properly. So one must make adequate, appropriate effort without being indifferent to recite the text. Why? Because Arthajnana Pradhanatvat. Artha means meaning. Jnanam means knowledge. So knowledge of the meaning. Arthasya jnanam, arthajnanam. Knowledge of the meaning. Let me complete, then you will understand the complete sentence. Arthasya jnanam, arthajnanam. Knowledge of the meaning is very important. Pradhanam, arthajnanam, pradhanam. Pradhanam is important. It is very important to have the knowledge of the words. Knowledge of the meaning of the words. It is very important to have the knowledge of the meaning of the words. Of what? Upanishad. So, what does it mean? Arthajnana Pradhanatvat Upanishadaha. Arthajnana Pradhanatvat means due to Pradhanatvatna, due to the importance of the meaning, knowledge of the meaning, due to the importance of the knowledge of the meaning of the words of Upanishad. Upanishadaha of the Upanishad. So due to the importance of the knowledge of the meaning of the Upanishad, there should not be any indifference on the part of the student in the textual recitation. Thus, this science of pronunciation is begun. What does it mean here? This is the literal meaning of the word. See, study of the Upanishad has the importance in understanding the meaning of the words of the Upanishad. So Upanishad has the greatest importance of its meaning being understood. If the meaning of the words of the Upanishad have to be understood correctly, the words must be understood properly, the sentences must be understood properly, for which one must be able to chant the mantras correctly, and one must have interest in learning to chant the mantras also correctly. Only then the textbook will be in one's mind. Therefore, when the teacher will unfold the meaning of the mantras, he can easily understand the meanings if he already knows the words correctly. So the student must not be indifferent, and he must have great Shraddha in textual recitation also, so that he can have the clear understanding of the meaning of the words of Upanishad. If a person has to learn to chant correctly, and it is very important for him to know what all he knows, the correct knowledge of alphabets, knowledge of swaras, knowledge of pronunciation, and knowledge of sandhi, knowledge of the pace one should maintain in chanting. All these six factors are very important. If a person has to learn to recite the mantras correctly, he must have the knowledge of the six factors. What are they? Swaraha, Varnaha, Swaraha, Matra, Balam, Sama, Santanaha. If the six factors are not understood, then the person does not know how to chant the mantras correctly. If he does not know how to chant the mantras correctly, then it is not possible for him to receive the meaning of the words correctly. If he cannot receive the meaning of the words correctly, he will not receive the message conveyed by the words. If he does not receive the message, the very purpose of study of the Upanishad will be a waste. It won't get served. Arthajnana pradhanatvat upanishadaha grantha pate yatno paramaha mabhot iti sikshadhyayaha arabhyate. So you could have noticed Shankaracharya first writes coming to now. Is it clear now? If I can say Arthajnana Pradhanatvad Upanishadaha means Upanishadirkku Porulai Arivadil Upanishadirudaya Porulai Arivadil Mukhyatvam Petrirpadal in the Granthatai Sariyaha Padippadirikkindra Muyarchi Illamal Pohakkudadu Enbadarkaga இந்த சீக்ஷாத்தியாயமானது ஆரம்பிக்கப்படுகிறது. This is my translation. Okay? Tamil translation. The Shankaraj is very, very, very brief, very crisp. Now I can say, comprehending the meaning of the words, comprehending the knowledge of the words, comprehending the knowledge of the message conveyed by the words is very important. Therefore, let there not be any indifference in one's effort made, one's effort in reciting the text. Otherwise, one will lose the ultimate message. Thus, having this intention, Upanishad begins the Sikshadhyayaha, science of phonetics. Okay. So Shankara Bhagavatpada first comments upon the word Siksha. No, I'm reading the next line. Siksha. Are you all reading, following? Siksha. And what is Siksha? Is a word, Shankaracharya first corrected the word siksha. Siksha is a Vedic usage, chandasa prayogaha. To understand the meaning in convention, we have to know the conventional expression, which is short, siksha. So first he comments upon the word siksha, changing it into siksha. We are not supposed to change any words of the Veda, but only for the purpose of understanding, he converts. Siksha is the correct expression in conventional language, not siksha. What is siksha? He gives a beautiful definition. Listen. Sikshyatena yeti. Sikshyatena yeti. Varnadyucharana lakshanam. This is the definition of siksha. I'm going to break it. Sikshyate anaya. Sikshyate anaya iti. Okay. Sikshyate is a passive verb. Is taught. Sikshyate means what? It's a passive verb. Kattru tarappadigirathu. Sikshyate is taught. Anaya. Anaya means by this. This discipline. By this discipline. Anaya means by this discipline. Anaya ivalal idanal. What is taught? Iti. See, sikshyate anaya iti. The discipline, something is taught by this discipline. Sikshyate anaya iti siksha. Okay. What is taught through this discipline? What is taught? Varnadi uccharana lakshanam. Varnadi uccharana lakshanam. Okay. So, lakshanam means the science, the definition. Lakshanam, the science, the method. So, the method of, the science of uccharanam, pronunciation, uccharikkindra murai, science of pronunciation, the method of pronunciation, uccharanasya lakshanam, uccharana lakshanam. Okay, the method of pronunciation of what? Varna adi. The method of pronunciation of letters, etc. Varna, letter, adi, etc. Ezhuthu mudhalivigalundaya uccharikkindra murai, murai, idanal கற்றுத்தரப்படுவதால் இதற்கு பெயர் சிக்ஷா. So, சிக்ஷதே அனயா இதி சிக்ஷா. But what is taught? The method of pronunciation of letters, etc. is taught through this discipline, taught by this discipline. Therefore, this discipline itself is known as சிக்ஷா. That by which this is taught. Sikshate anaya iti siksha. So, varna adi means, adi stands for what? Adi stands for swaraha, matra, balam, sama, santanaha. Okay? As these six aspects are taught, the method of pronunciation of letters and the other aspects, six aspects also taught it by this discipline, through this discipline. Therefore, this discipline itself is called siksha. No. Okay, I can say sikshyate, otherwise sikshyante. Sikshyante is what? Same meaning but plural verb. Sikshyante. Are taught. Sikshyate is taught. Sikshyante are taught. Iti va. Va means are. Siksha. Varnadayaha. Why this is called the siksha? He says, this discipline of pronunciation, the phonetics itself, the science of phonetics, why is it called siksha? It explained. Varnaha, alphabets are taught. Alphabets are taught. Alphabets and other related aspects are taught through this discipline. Therefore, this discipline is known as siksha. Then he says, sikshaiva siksha. A siksha alone is mentioned in the mantra as siksha. Then he says, why that ikaraha instead of si? Why si? Why long? He says, dairghyam chandasam. Dairghyam means length. Dirgaha, dirga adjective long. Dirga means long adjective. Dairgyam means length. Length is what? Noun. Length, length in the vowel E is Vedic expression, Vedic usage. Only Veda has such privilege. If we fire you and write siksha, the examiner will give zero. But Veda says it's okay. Okay. Now what have you understood? Purpose of introduce, it's called Bhasha study. The purpose of introducing the science of phonetics in the second section, Shankaracharya first mentioned, and the first he corrected the, not he showed us how the difference between siksha and siksha. Then he presented the definition of siksha. Why the science of phonetics is known as siksha. Sikshante varnadayaha anaya iti siksha. Sikshate or sikshante, doesn't matter. Is taught or are taught, so okay. And the length is Vedic usage. Now, Tam Siksham Vyakhyasyamaha. And the Sikshavai Nam Ippodhu Vilakkuvomaha Vilakkuvom. Tam Siksham Vyakhyasyamaha. We shall expound that discipline of science of phonetics dealing with six topics. Okay. How? Vispashtam. Vispashtam means clearly, very clearly. Spashtam means clearly. Vispashtam, very clearly. At the same time, comprehensively, not to allow, okay? V stands for very clearly, at the same time briefly, comprehensively. It's a, see, vispashtam is used as an adverb here. Vispashtataya, it must have been, but vispashtam, telivaha, purundu hollukindra murayil, telivaha, vispashtam. At the same time, asamantat. Asamantat. See, samantam means total. Samantam means entire. Asamantat, mulumayaga. Asamantat, totally. Clearly, comprehensively, at the same time, completely. Thoroughly. Asamantat, totally, completely, thoroughly. Migat telivaha, surukkamaha, anal mulumayaha. See, vyakhyasyamaha, Shankaracharya used similar verb, kathayishyamaha, solluvom, nam solluvom. We shall explain, we shall say, we shall reveal here, we shall discuss. நாம் சொல்வோம், சுருக்கமாக தெளிவாக ஆனால் முழுமையாக சீக்ஷாவை பற்றி நாம் சொல்வோம். தாம் சீக்ஷாம் வியாக்கியாசியாமஹ. சங்கர் says, why he says that word we and are. This is the Bhashya study. See, வியாக்கியாசியாமஹ, that one word he takes under the prefix we and are. See, கியாசியாமஹ itself is enough. But he, why two prefixes? There's a one prefix V, another prefix A. The two prefixes actually reveal what? V stands for Vispashtam. A stands for Asamantat. The two prefixes in the verb Vyakhyasyamaha, the V and A stand for two important aspects. They describe the verb. They reveal the adverbs. Now, how we shall explain, how we are going to discuss? Vispashtam, clearly but comprehensively. Asamantat, totally, completely, thoroughly. We shall explain. Okay. And then, the second line, you all may feel tired. Second line, Shankaracharya gives a grammatical aspect. Bear with me, okay? There is a root, chakshing. Chakshing is a root. And what he does, chakshingaha, in the place of the root chakshing, he takes the root kyan. Kyanch is the root. Kyany. He takes, actually, kya is the root. The very root itself is kya. In the place of the root chakshing, he takes the root kya. So, kyang adishtasya. He takes the root kya. Then, what is the prefix there? Vyang purvasya. Vyang purvasya means V and A, the root kya preceded by two prefixes. The root kya preceded by two prefixes V and A, which means the second line of there, the chakshingaha, Shankaracharya's explanation of the formation of the word Vyakhyasyamaha. Shankaracharya's explanation of the formation of the word Vyakhyasyamaha. Which means, according to the grammar, Rishi Panini's grammar, according to Rishi Panini's grammar, in his Ashtadhyayi, according to Panini's Ashtadhyayi, where he has written the entire all the grammatical rules in the form of sutrani. There, it means in Panini's Ashtadhyayi Sutra Grantha, grammar book, there is a root, chakshing. Chakshing is a root, original root, found in Panini's Ashtadhyayi, a book, grammar book of aphorisms. And chakshing is the root of this verb khyasyamaha. So khyasyamaha, that verb originally has the root Chakshi. And there are some roots, very few roots in Sanskrit grammar, which are incapable of forming some tenses. Some very rare roots in Sanskrit language are not capable of forming certain verbal tenses in their original form. You can write that some roots, are you all following? These things you have to write down. You can't find them all there. There are some roots in Sanskrit grammar, very, very rare roots, were incapable of forming certain verbal tenses in their original form. Therefore, in order to form a verb of future tense, the root chakshing is rechanged. The root chakshing is changed by the root kyan. You may think unimportant all these things, but it will see every bit is important. The root chakshing is replaced by, changed by kyan. Why? Because this root is not capable of forming a verb of future tense. Okay. Therefore, the verb becomes what? Khyasyamaha. Then, after the root chakshin goes, kyan comes, khyasyamaha we form. Afterwards, the two prefixes are added, vi and a. So, vi ang purvasya means, vi Vyang Purvasya means the root Kyan with the prefixes Vi and A becomes what? Vyakhyasyamaha. We get the future tense verb Vyakhyasyamaha. Got it? You must nod your head so I won't understand. You're following or not? Got it? See, the root kyan is taken, then sya is a future tense vikarna pratyaya, kyasya. Then maha is a first person plural affix. So kyasya maha. Then vi and a are added to prefixes. So we get the complete verb vyakhyasya maha. Now got it? Yeah. Because the person who's expected to study the Bhashya is supposed to know all these things. Anyway, doesn't matter. Thus, therefore, this word, Vyakhyasyamaha, is formed from the root chakshin. So what is the meaning of the root? He says, clear expression. Or clear expression or clear presentation. So, etat rupam. Which form? Vyakhyasyamaha. This form Vyakhyasyamaha. What is the meaning? Karma. clear and walk means presentation. Vyakta walk means presentation. Karmanaha means clear expression or clear, clear expression. So what does it mean now? Therefore, that we are, these two prefixes denote the adverbs that describe the very verb. As already I said, so we shall explain clearly, comprehensively, completely, thoroughly. Okay. This much is the, see, I'm also seeing what are Swamiji just takes it for granted, because this was done for the Gurukulam students. But I see that you also do not miss anything. Okay. Next. Tatra. Now you have got the meaning of what?
I want to ask that.
Even though it's slow study, you will be thorough in the class itself. You don't need to against the study afterwards. Now we have understood the word meaning of siksham, vyakhyasyamaha. We have see understood the meaning of two words of Bhashyam, isn't it? Siksham vyakhyasyamaha. Commentary based on those two words is over. Now, next.
Swami, can you repeat Vyaktavak?
I said no. Vyaktavak karmanaha etad rupam. So, etad rupam, etad means this form, vyakhyasyamaha. Etad rupam means this form. Which form? Vyakhyasyamaha, which has been derived from the root kya in the place of chakshin, and with the prefixes v and a, v ang purvasya, with the prefixes v and a, having v and a in the beginning, and which means
vyaktavak
karmanaha. So vyaktavak karmanaha, karmanaha means clear expression, and vyaktavak means clear expression or presentation. You can say that way, clear expression or clear presentation means vyaktavak. Vyakta means expression, manifest, revealed. Walk means speech. So vyakta, expressed speech, which means vyakta walk means clear expression or presentation. Karmanaha means meaning.
What is dhairgyam?
Dhairgyam means length. You must be with me when I say, must make a note. Because if I go very slowly, I can't finish it.
Thank you, Swami.
Is it clear now? Got it? I finished every word. See, chakshingaha kyanyadishtasya vyang purvasya vyaktava karmanaha etad rupam. So vyakhyasyamaha is formed from the root chakshing, which means, karmanaha means the meaning, which means clear expression and presentation. Okay. You have to sit and again do the homework. Only then you can form your own, you can make your own notes. The thing is, I don't want to get into Tamil also, then I will delay it, that's why. Next, tatra varnokaradihi. Tatra varnokaradihi. ಸ್ವರ ಉದಾತ್ತಾದಿಹಿ ಮಾತ್ರ ಹ್ರಸ್ವಾದ್ಯಾಹ ಬಲಂ ಪ್ರಯತ್ನ ವಿಶೇಷ ಸಾಮ ವರ್ಣಾನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯಮ ವೃತ್ಯೋಚ್ಚಾರಣಂ ಸಮತ ಸಂತಾನ ಸಂತತಿಹಿ ಸಂಹಿತೇತ್ಯರ್ಥಃ. ಸೊ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಫಿನಿಶ್ಡ್ ಕಮೆಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್. ನೌ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ಲಿ. ಓಕೆ, ತತ್ರ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್. ದೇರ್ ಲಿಟ್ರಲಿ ತತ್ರ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಇಂಡಿಕೇಬಲ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ವಿಚ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್. ಅಂಗ್ ಅಂಗ್ ದೇರ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್? Regarding this topic of phonetics, or you can say among the six aspects of the science of phonetics, this is the meaning of the word tatra. Okay, tatra literally means there. You should take it as regarding this topic of siksha, or among the six aspects of the science of phonetics, the first aspect is varnaha. First aspect is varnaha. What is that varnaha? Alphabetical letters. The word varna, the expression varnaha, means the first aspect of the discipline is varnaha. First topic is varnaha. Varnaha stands for alphabetical letters, such as a, a, I, e, u, u, r, r, l, a, o, I, au, am, aha, ka, kha, ga, gha, nga, etc. Next. So he says, akaradihi, varnaha akaradihi. Akaradihi means what? All the alphabetical letters such as a, a mudaliya ezhuthukal. Varnaha endral, a mudaliya ezhuthukalai kurikkum patriya, ezhuthukalai patriya olungu. Okay, next. Swaraha. What is swaraha? So you can say the word varnaha stands for all the alphabetical letters, all the sounds in terms of vowels and consonants. You can say achaha swaraha. Achaha swaraha. Varnaha is equal to all the alphabetical letters, all the vowels and consonants. Achaha swaraha. Sorry, vyanjanani. Achaha or swaraha or halaha and or vyanjanani. Okay. Next, swaraha. What is swaraha? Swaraha is the second topic discussed. The swaraha actually denotes the pitch. In music we have different pitches. In Vedic chanting also we have pitch. So the swaraha denotes the raised pitch or low pitch or neutral pitch. The raised or low or neutral pitch used in pronouncing the letters. What are they? Yesterday I mentioned udattaha. You can say udattadihi. Shankaracharya leaves udattadihi, udatta, etc. It means anudattaha, udattaha, swaritaha, dirghaswaritaha. Okay, next. Udatta, udatta, mudaliya, swarangal. Next. Matra. I give small note for everything. Don't worry. Then matra. Matra is a time taken to pronounce a given sound. A unit of time taken to pronounce a sound. You can say in what measure or how long letters should be pronounced. That is the matra, measure. So yes, hraswadhyaha. Hraswa means kuril. Short vowel, long vowel, etc. Hraswa means long, short, etc. So kuril, nedil, mudaliyana. Adhyaha means mudaliyana. The next, balam. Balam, as already said, balam means emphasis. Shankaracharya says, prayatna viseshaha. Balam means prayatna viseshaha. So the fourth topic, the fourth aspect one has to pay attention to in chanting is during the pronunciation of sounds, one must see that there must be specific effort. The specific effort or emphasis, effort is involved in pronouncing some consonants. You know that. How is it? Ka, ka, ga, ga, ng. It's called specific emphasis or specific force involved in pronouncing the sounds. That's called balam. Prayatna viseshaha. Prayatna means effort. Specific. Vishesha means specific. Specific effort involved in pronouncing sounds. Next. Sama. What is Sama? He says, Varnanam Madhyama Vrithya Uccharanam. Varnanam Madhyama Vrithya Uccharanam Sama. Uccharanam, pronunciation or pronouncing the sounds. Uccharanam, pronouncing. So pronunciation of the letters, varnanam. Pronunciation of letters or pronouncing the pronunciation of letters. There, Madhyama Vrithya Uccharanam. Maintaining the uniform pace of chanting. Sama means the uniform pace of chanting. Sama. Then Santanam. So you maintain the uniform pace of chanting means what? Without any variations. So, chanting must be maintained in middle pace. Maintaining the one should maintain uniform pace of chanting. The uniformly in middle pace. The chanting must be uniformly in middle pace. Madhyama vrittihi. Madhyama vritti means middle pace. What does it mean? The chanting should not be too fast sometimes, too slow in some places. So without being too fast in some places, without being too slow in some places, one must maintain the same medium pace uniformly whole out. Suppose, Om Sahana Vavatu. Sahana Vavatu. Like that. There should not be too fast and too slow. Madhyama Vrithya Uccharanam. But Swamiji will say, how it should be said, the teacher should be slow when he teaches the students. When the student, when he wants to memorize the mantras, he can be fast. But when the mantras are chanted for the purpose of puja or ritual, yajna yaga, they must be madhyama vritya uccharanam. It should not be too fast, it should not be too slow. It must be maintained in middle pace. Because I know all my student mommies in Coimbatore, they, by the time they finish cooking, they'll finish a whole 100,000 verse of Narayanayam also. It's so fast. Because they have to do so much of work. No mommy wants to leave any punyam. So they finish the whole Sahasranama along with the rasam. That is, my Coimbatore mommies are very funny. Okay. Any chanting, I remember them. How they fast, they chant. Anyway. Also some mommies I know in Madras. Okay. They do all that. So, okay. Next. Now, let me tell you here. We finished Sama Santanam. We have Santanaha. So, Santanaha is the sixth topic, which means combination of letters. That's all. He says, Santatihi. Santatihi means what? Close proximity. It's called Santatihi. Close proximity of letters. Santanaha, Santatihi, Samhita. All the three words mean the same. Samhita, Santatihi, Santanaha. You get one more word also. Sandhihi means close proximity of letters. Which means sa. Ha, na, you can't say that. They must be together. So, madhyama vritya uccharanam samata. So, sama is the original text word, textual word. Shankaracharya gives another meaning, samata. Samata. What is samata? What is sama? Varnanam madhyama vritya uccharanam. So, pronunciation of letters, maintaining the middle pace without being too fast and too slow. See, so much information. One must know whoever wants to do the Vedic chanting. Otherwise, we should listen to other people chanting. We should not chant. At least, whether we are going to learn the Veda or not, it's nice to know the details of the rules to be followed in chanting. If I tell, people will shut me, people will be angry. Out of Shraddha, they have great Shraddha. They all sing, Urbhuvasuvaha, Tatsavitur. We should not sing. If I tell them, they'll be upset. So I don't tell anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. They have Bhakti, Shraddha. We leave them at a distance. At least we must know. So whether we chant or not, at least we should not chant wrongly. Okay. Now, what is swaraha? Okay. Udattaha, anudattaha, swaritaha, dirghaswaritaha. Mainly, these three words only, the udattaha, anudattaha, swaritaha, three words only indicate the three words denote the pitch swara used in chanting of the mantras. So swarita, so the swarita swaraha denotes a raised or high accent. Swarita swaraha denotes a high accent, or it is a raised accent, a raised pitch used in the chanting. Then anudattaha denotes neither high nor low pitch. But anudattaha denotes a medium pitch. Or you can say it's a normal, the medium pitch, normal tone. Okay. Sorry, udattaha. Udattaha denotes neither high nor low. Udattaha denotes neither high nor low, but medium pitch. Anudattaha denotes low pitch or low accent in pronouncing a sound. Got it? Three. So, udatta, udattaha, anudattaha, swaritaha, or we can include dirgha swaritaha is a prolonged raised pitch. And these swaras are shown, these swaras are shown or indicated by different signs. So, anudattaha, the lower accent, a lower pitch is denoted by a horizontal line at the bottom of the sound letter. Swaritaha, the higher raised pitch is denoted by a vertical line on the top of the letter. Udattaha, the normal, the medium pitch is not denoted by any marking. No marking for udatta. Even though in ancient times we had all the mantras had swaras, unfortunately we have lost them. And now we have, for example, Mundaka Upanishad, we don't have swaras now, lost them. So, Taittiriya Upanishad, fortunately we still have swaras. Okay, next, matra. Matra we have hraswaha, dirgaha, plutaha. Three matras we have. Plutaha, we don't have written form. Okay. So, short vowel is hraswaha. Long vowel is dirgaha. Matra means you have to know this matra. What is matra? Short vowel, long vowel and prolonged. You can say elongated sound. So, the length of a vowel, the length of time taken to pronounce a vowel, only vowel has swaras. Vowel has the matra also. All these are associated with only vowels. Okay? Maintain that. Remember that. The time taken to, the length of time taken to pronounce a vowel is divided into three as hraswaha, dirgaha and plutaha. So, hraswaha is a short vowel. Short time, one matra kalaha. One unit of time. Hraswaha takes one unit of time. Dirgaha takes two units of time. And the plutha, the elongated sound has no form, but still the number will be put in mantras. In keeping with the matra, how long it should take, number will be put, two or three, number will be put. We'll be seeing that in the Taittiriya Upanishad studying, we will be seeing that. Okay. Vowel, see whenever, wherever a vowel sound is elongated, more than two units of time, more than two matra kala. So it can be elongated up to any length, but that length taken will be denoted next to that mantra by a specific number. And that elongated sound is called what? The length is called plutam. So hraswa dirgha plutam actually denote what? The length of time taken by vowels in pronouncing them. Okay. Now balam. What is balam?
Swamiji.
Yeah.
In Plutaha, you know, like you give the example, you say.
Yeah. Wait. The
number next.
Ahamannam, 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 ahamannado, ahamannado, ahamannadaha. You'll be saying in Chaitanya.
Okay.
They put the number. Mm-hmm. Okay. It won't be coming every day, everywhere. Very rarely it will come across. Then, balam. So there's no particular letter for this elongated sound. Only number will be there. Suppose they'll put a and put three. Suppose a like that. Ooh, oh, like that. Number will be there. Okay. Just know it. We quickly go. Balam. Balam is what? Prayatna visheshaha. Time to stop. Prayatna visheshaha. So here, prayatna, the very word prayatna means, yayatna means effort. Prayatna means special effort. So balam here literally means strength. So the special effort involved in pronouncing the sounds. Thereby in pronouncing the words also. Example, I can say danam dharma. Bhayam, papam, bhramaha, bhramaha, prama. Isn't it? Difference is there. It's called prayatna viseshaha. The special effort involved in pronouncing the sounds. Okay. And actually, if you want more detail, I can give you some more details. In grammar, we have something called Abhyantara Prayatna and Bahya Prayatna. I have to teach you Paini for that. Abhyantara Prayatna, Bahya Prayatna. Abhyantara Prayatna means internal efforts. Bahya prayatna means external efforts. The abhyantara prayatna, internal efforts are involves four types. The four types of internal efforts. And bahya prayatna involves 11 types. Bahya prayatna, the 11 types of external efforts. Which means, I'm not going to elaborate on this. One must have the understanding of how one must, have thorough understanding of the language before even learning to chant mantras. It's so unfortunate, Vedapashalas also nowadays, people, all the priests, somehow they mechanically learn some Grantha Lipi, study and come and they do something. Supposed to have learned, have thorough knowledge of all these things before they learn the mantras. So that mantra, mantra means what? Mananat trayate iti mantra. The mantra which is capable of protecting the reciter. If the mantra has to be effective means they must have the thorough knowledge. That's why if we have not lost the Veda, we wouldn't have had Corona now. I have faith. The mantra must be very effective means it must be chanted correctly, you see. Unfortunately, we don't have that. Anyway, so I think I'm going to stop now. So I'll see you tomorrow, same time. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.